pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing and everlasting love for us. Thank you for the work that you do in our hearts and lives to bring us to faith in you. Thank you for your Son and for his work of salvation that has been accomplished upon the cross and that will finally culminate in the end. Please now guide us in your truth as we look at these two verses and how we can rest in your promises. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. We remember the Lord's death by taking the elements, the bread and the cup. This memorial is a proclamation that we are in Christ and that we come to Christ by way of his death. We come by way of the cross. We need this remembrance because the Lord says we do, as we cannot and do not perfectly trust in the Lord in this life. We are weak in our flesh, and we need constant reminders of the death of Christ and what that most important event means for us. We need to be reminded that our sins are completely forgiven as Christ took on our sins and atoned for our sin. He made us perfect in the eyes of God. He took on our sin and he gave us his righteousness. He also satisfied the wrath of God toward us, toward our sin. No longer are we enemies of God by way of sin, but we are friends of Christ, children of God. And God considers us righteous because we belong to Christ and are in fact righteous because of Christ. That all came through his work upon the cross. We are also commanded to take part in the Lord's Supper with some regularity. We need multiple reminders of our need for Christ and to assure us in our faith that we are indeed saved from the penalty of our sin and will be saved from the presence of our sin. But there will be a time when we won't need to be reminded about our position in Christ, when we won't proclaim the Lord's death by way of communion service, and that is when the Lord returns. He says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So there is a point in time that this remembrance service will end. There is no graduation ceremony for a believer in this lifetime. We don't get to a certain point in our Christian walk and say the communion service is no longer needed for me. We don't appoint the time to abolish communion service because we we don't have the right to abolish it. The one who established it and who has the authority over it determines the completion of the Lord's table. And also the Lord Jesus does it for our good because we need it throughout our walk with him in faith because we do tend to stumble and sin in our walk because we are still in our flesh. And lastly, the Lord Jesus has established this remembrance because he loves us and he wants us to remember all that he has accomplished for us and all that comes by way of trusting him. So please turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, if you haven't already. And let's read verses 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. These two verses have nothing directly to do with the communion service. They are not speaking of his death upon the cross. I hope you would agree. But it does run along the same vein, and it does run along that same vein of faith. When you take your pulse, you are feeling for two movements. You feel the initial increase of pressure as the heart pushes the blood through your arteries And when you feel the drop in pressure, when the blood is completely emptied from the heart, and in this process of and is in the process of being refilled, you are feeling the rise and the fall of a rhythm, like a wave. Well, in terms of our salvation, the communion service is a rhythm that testifies to our life in Him, and it's a way to check our spiritual pulse. Are we focusing on glorifying God by trusting in the Son with our lives? Do we believe that our sins are forgiven completely and that the wrath of God is satisfied in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes? Communion service is a time to reflect on these questions, to pray, and to commit ourselves to trusting in the Lord. This remembrance or this pulse check continues until He comes. The promise, "I am coming soon," is the final culmination of our salvation. This is the end of the prophetic word. The Bible progressively reveals more about God as we turn the pages of Scripture and turn the pages of time, revealing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Lord of all. From Genesis to Revelation, God has been teaching us more about Himself. And chapter 22, verses 20 and 21 of the Revelation are His final words to us. And they are words of assurance that Jesus will return and that His grace abounds to sinners. When He returns, we receive new, perfect, sinless bodies fit for eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth. We won't celebrate communion as we will be perfectly committed to trusting in the Lord at that time. And our spiritual pulse won't be like a wave that rises and falls, but will continually flow like a river in trust and in love for our Savior. So let me spend our brief time together in three parts. First, Jesus's assurance. And that's the first part of verse 20. And second part of verse 20, our response in assurance. And third is the final words to us now. So part one, I'll read the first part of verse 20 again. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.'" The one testifying, of course, would be the Lord Jesus, who is relaying these words to the Apostle John for us. John emphasizes this by reminding the reader that these are not just his words or his visions, but these are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that John is recording an actual event. The Lord's words are to the persecuted church, that will remain until the end. These things that he is speaking of are these things written in this book, the Revelation. And they are, again, words of assurance that all the promises of God will come to pass. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" And also down that verse, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." So the promises of action by the Lord Jesus that will culminate in making all things new is trustworthy. We can rely upon these words. And his final words to the church are that which ought to be most comforting to our ears. "Surely I am coming soon." You know, what a relief. The Lord's return will come soon enough. In fact, his coming will be just at the right time. We learn from Peter in 2 Peter 3 that the Lord counts days different and that one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Peter continues to explain that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He is waiting for us to believe, for every member of his church to come to faith. He is waiting for everyone that will come to salvation, to be saved both now and in the future. Peter then says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." So we as believers, we expectantly wait for him. But those that do not believe will be completely caught off guard, like a thief in the night. The coming of the Lord will come as a surprise to those that do not trust in the Lord. The time of the Lord's patience for sinners will come to an end. And the coming of the Lord that brings believers throughout time to the culmination of their salvation will also bring eternal punishment to those that hate God and reject his Son. So we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Is there any better reason to proclaim or to preach or to speak of the Lord's death, bringing the message of salvation to the lost, than that the Lord is coming quickly? We proclaim so that the Lord might use our testimony even now to call them to repentance. This table and this testimony that we proclaim is used by the Lord even now to call them to repentance. And the Lord's table is for the Lord's people. And I hope that the people have come and will come to repentance and faith, and that Christians will have even more faith in the Lord Jesus by our testimony and our obedience as we proclaim and as we observe the Lord's table. Our response and assurance, the second part of verse 21, it says, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." This is our response in assurance. First off, who's speaking? Some say that it is the response of the church that John records, and others say that it is John speaking on behalf of the church, and to me that sounds like a very circular argument. Certainly this is the right words for the church to respond to their king, to echo his very words in exuberant praise. And John certainly wrote these words, and he could certainly be responding on behalf of the church as their representative at this very moment in time. At that very moment in time, excuse me. Back in verse 17, it says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.'" The Spirit is at work on the earth, and so it is fitting for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to affirm Jesus' words as well and to respond in kind, to come, and to complete all things that they planned from before the foundation of the world. Excuse me. And next, in those same verses, excuse me one second. I wanted to look that up. It says, "The bride says, 'Come,' and let the one who hears again say, 'Come.'" The bride, again, being the universal church, the whole body of the Lord throughout time, is calling for the Lord to come at this very time that he has been appointed to come. And it says, the one who hears say, "Come." And I think these are the individual believers who are, again, throughout time calling for the Lord to come. And so it is certainly could both be a response of the church and John's response to the Lord saying that surely I am coming soon. We are responding in assurance. And if I look back at, and you guys can turn if you like as well, John 10. in 10:27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. All that the Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ are his." So it is quite an assurance that none of God's children will fall. The Lord Jesus is the one in control of our salvation. He is the one holding us and keeping us. And it is an assurance that he is going to save all that he is called to save. It is quite a assuring thing for me as a future father, knowing that my child's salvation is not in my hands. I know that if it were in my hands, that it would not go well at all. Being in the Lord's hands, he calls all his children to come. And so it is an assuring thing, knowing that that the Lord will call all who are his, and that we as believers are just blessed in that regard. We praise him. Praise the Lord that he is in control, and that his children, again, will never fall, and will never fail to come to him, nor will ever leave him. The final words of the Bible read, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." As the final words of comfort and assurance, we are reminded of the inexpressible gift of grace. Let me quote these words from John MacArthur. "The glorious comforting truth is that those who humble themselves and accept God's offer of salvation will find him gracious. Fittingly, the last words of the Bible, 'The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen,' are an expression of God's grace toward fallen humanity. The Lord of glory, as he promised in Scripture, offers heaven or eternal life to those who, in light of his certain return, accept his gracious invitation and return to him. And that offer is only extended through the Lord Jesus Christ and comes only by way of the cross. There is no greater love than this, that he laid down his life for us, extending grace to wicked sinners and offering eternal salvation to those who believe. The character of God towards sinners is shown most clearly in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim this truth, trusting in God for our salvation more and more each day. And we proclaim God's love for sinners in the remembrance of his death through the bread and the cup until he comes." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the truth. Thank you that we are blessed with assurance that you are coming and coming quickly. We pray that you would use this time to reflect upon your death, that we would proclaim it by our obedience and our love for you, and pray that you would help us to strengthen our faith, that you would grow our faith and love for you. Thank you for this time of remembrance, that we can look back at your death and the resurrection and be thankful, be grateful, and just knowing that you are God and that you accomplished these things and that you are returning soon. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.